Blog Talk Radio.
I hear RBG. Repack Nation is the situation. You know how I do it, cuz. Going straight for the throat.
My Repack Nation making moves. Hurrah.
Uh-huh.
Hurrah. I swear for God, my ship's gonna set it on fire.
I got knowledge of self, I started doing well. Yeah, I know I'm a god, yeah, the planet is ours. Messenger told us America is the poet's art. Still we show no regard, we used to living hard. Begging the enemy for security through a job. Turn that shit down, turn that pot up. This for my sisters who cut them perms and locked up. Overstanding that Euro standard is not us, bruh. That homosexual glamour is not us. We the kings and the queens, the gods and the goddess. God be whirlwind, returning, fulfilling the promise. It's your crib, huh? No doubt, them pests and pests that you have, how you gonna kick them out, huh?
See, I ain't cutting that.
These wicked invaders, make your alliance clear. What side you choosing? Traitor affiliation, inherit retribution. Instead of standing, be strong, you trying to get along and criticize a G. Wanna hate on my song? Like Obama was right and Mugabe was wrong. But Babylon, your home, so your options is gone. Making deals with the devil, go do the research. Go and study his nature. He the scum of the earth. They hold agenda to see you laying dead in the hearse. The only deal he gon' honor is they survival first. See they your rivals first. You a rap when the tsunamis hit. Don't build no nation within the nation's apocalypse, bro.
See, I ain't cutting that.
Look
all
at these agent ass niggas.
All I know is this to be known.
This how the baby's gonna find out about Malcolm now, huh? Oh yeah, I see what you're trying to do. Should have been said something to y'all. Fuck that, RBG's up. We in the building now, nigga. Take off. Look at these agent ass niggas always throwing in your face how they make a cheese niggas. Bloodsuckers of the hood, vampires, Blade told me put a stake in these niggas. Pledge allegiance to the paper cocaine, cause fame, gold chains, chinchillas. Them real mogul ass niggas all dick in the booty, real homo ass niggas. A
underdressed over sex. Weezy fucking baby, that shit suspect. Kill me in the video and show him Malcolm X. I'ma take it as a threat, niggas gotta get checked. Now you wanna rape niggas, Uncle Ruckus ass bitch, you must really hate niggas. I ain't feeling you, nigga. That European mind frame killing you, niggas. Yeah, right, they some government tools. Yeah, these niggas getting used, but these niggas ain't fools. Took the cracker off, so they follow their rules. Get a couple dollars, now you feel you can't lose. Hope you deal lifelong, hope you never get old and make all the right songs. Cause when it get took from a nigga, the whole hood gon' be like, look at these niggas. Look at these homosexual agenda pushing ass, dry snitching ass, EDM faggot ass niggas. Bitch, y'all babies is seeing this, don't you know that? And y'all gon' still try to give them a pass? Fuck outta here. Rah, I can't wait on these niggas. Fuck sitting down, I ain't debating these niggas. Rah. I'ma take it to the shrine and petition old goon to start slaying these niggas. Rah. Pour the liquor, blow the stogie, resurrect the dead homies, let them pray on these niggas. Rah. All for the sake of getting rich, Tiggeray, please bang on these witch ass niggas. I would never give a pass to their so-called ignorant ass. Put them on blast, Michael face tied to a hoe. Let a bitch lie, what for? Nigga, this woe. Sign sharks into a book deal, that nigga helped crackers try to get us out of kill. Now, help me out, go figure. Why would drug dealers son of snitch ass niggas? They know why. They posse so sloppy, they jocking Versace, cause all of them fossy doing anything to wake up in the Bugatti. I'm hoping y'all finally see. Say police, all the videos and the music is an overt attack on the black fam unit. So fuck a boycott, put their names in the pot, somebody gotta do it. There you go. Say dua out to the head room. Yeah. Time here, RBG, Repack Nation is the situation. No more of that fuck shit, baby. We calling y'all out now. And if you give a fuck, share this shit. Make sure you push it around. Let's make sure it get right to these motherfuckers. All these blood-sucking ass motherfuckers. And if you one of them motherfuckers, then fuck you too. As we proceed to raise these RBGs. Black power, motherfucker. Black power, motherfucker. As we proceed to raise these RBGs. Black power, motherfucker. Black power, motherfucker. Turn them drums up. Frankincense and myrrh burning. But we need the drums up, though. Biggie, wake the fuck up. Yeah, what? Let me feel that power.
As we proceed to raise these RBGs. Black power, motherfucker. Black power, motherfucker.
I shake.
Repack Nation, motherfucker.
Who shot ya? 9 out of 10, it was coppers. Heat laying us down all over the street. It's on cracker, every hood got the same beat. I wanna see brains tumbling down your cheek. AR taking out all police. Plasma clump staining the concrete. And it don't stop, bullet sticks and rocks. Snitches helping cops on sight or get shot. Once we got the drop, set up the border. Slaughter, policemen, wives, sons and daughters. Good cops, crooked cops and the turncoats. It's y'all's turn to burn like Dante's Inferno. Fill the ghetto with crack and yayo. We fill in the prisons and every year they make more. Crackers know the dawn of revolution is taking place. RBGs in this bitch, it ain't safe. Shoot you in your face, gassing on they asses. Trees and nooses, same way you do shit. Time here can pop fools and stay cool. Heart clear because I know my eye rules. Everything around me killing 4-9. Cutting off their breathing because they cutting off mine. And I'm Southside's finest. Trayvon, Sean Bell, and Mike Brown's behind this. Close to defeat, I read the shells, consult with the priests. traitors wanna creep. CC got my back. Thank the prayers and the libations make me flat. My juju all that, bitch, RBG's up. Work the shrines, make your heat freeze up. Serve your life to pots like a sandwich. Feed the energy, now I command it. Take they I shade away me, Baba. Ogun, cut your neck as I drop ya. I kill your crew kill like Genghis Khan, dropping bombs. Taking back our diamonds and chop off your arms. Sing the same gold mine songs and boom on my face, so there won't be no mistake. Take your soul to a dark place, lame cracker, slave master. Clean off with the sage after. My ancestors eat daily cigars and gin, my blood will not fail me. Say the plot, and they always listening. Hammers cocked in the fire positioning. Rock, rock.
Come in, come in. Open your fucking mouth. Open your, did I tell you not to fuck with me? Huh? Did I tell you not to fuck with me? Huh? Look at you now. Huh? Can't talk with a gun in your mouth, huh? Bitch ass nigga.
never trip.
Never trip.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Valleys and peaks, they both necessary.
Necessary.
Will it succeed? For me, hereditary.
Hereditary.
Mama and Papa, they both go getters.
Go getters.
It's in my nature to pitch no hitters.
No hitters.
Warlocks and witches, they see me on the map.
On the map.
Vampires thirst to see me underground.
Underground.
They're clever.
They're clever.
I'm better.
I'm better.
I can't die.
I can't die.
I live forever.
Peace, peace, and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of the Sankofa Circle, Revolutionary University, here, broadcasting live every Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by the host and founder, the African Warrior Goddess, India Asada. Family, that phone number to call in, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions. With your comments, it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others the host and founder of this magnificent Sankofa Circle, my sister, your sister, the warrior, African goddess, India Asada, is in the building.
Peace, peace, Black Power, Hotep, Uhuru, free the land. Salam alaikum, Asante Sana. Peace to the gods and earth. Black Power, all power to the people. Black Power to Black people. All power to all oppressed people. How you feeling, comrade? Peace, God.
That's how I'm feeling right there, comrade. You know, got the button on deck right now. You know what
I'm
saying?
You got the button on deck.
Got the button on deck.
The button is on deck. I can dig it. I can dig it. So, you know, I'm here. I'm excited to be here for another episode of Sankofa Circle Revolutionary University. I'm excited to be in the presence of you, my comrade, and all of the listeners that's here. You know, we had a little bit of technical difficulties as I was trying to go live. You know, Yoruba got me blocked from live. So we had to do some improvising. but we in the building. Black Power. For those of y'all that are on the line watching live, we're also broadcasting on Through the Knowledge Radio. The number to call in is 515-605-9360. Share this video, family. I got a new page. The Yoruba is trying to keep me quiet because they don't want y'all to hear this message. So just continue to share the video. Call in, push one to get in the queue. But we're going to get it in tonight. I'm excited to be here. For those of you who are just now joining, Sankofa Circle, Sankofa Revolutionary University, is basically a weekly political education broadcast. For those of you, we know that Sankofa means to get it, and it is very important for us to go back into our history and study the triumphs and the struggles of our ancestors, our warrior ancestors, those who came before us and those whose shoulders we stand on as we continue to move forth in this liberation struggle. So that's the concept of Sankofa University. We're excited today. Today what we're going to talk about is what is the book, what is the piece of revolutionary knowledge or literature, or who was the ancestor, or what was the event that happened in your life that brought you into your consciousness? You know, was there a particular literature? Was there a lecture? You know, what knowledge was bestowed upon you that got you into your walk of consciousness, that made you thirst for this knowledge and get on your revolutionary path? And so the goal with this episode, family, is to go ahead and create a book list and a curriculum for Sankofa Circle so that we can continue to move forward and break down and do some critical analysis of different events in our revolutionary struggle, as well as breaking down several of these jewels and these books that our ancestors and our elders have left and are creating for us so that you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. So that's the concept, that's the goal. I'm excited. I got a few of my favorites here. Like I said, family, share this video. I really don't have a lot of following on this ASADA page because everybody's on the page that is currently blocked. So family, please share this video. Call in with your questions. But I'm ready to get right into it. So Brother Knowledge, your name definitely suits you. Let me ask you, what is one of your favorite pieces of revolutionary literature and why?
All right, let me go right here to my stack right here, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'll be out there doing my phone book challenge, you know what I mean? No, I ain't doing the phone book challenge. Doing the book reading challenge, you know what I'm saying? Let me go through two of them real quick. I gotta do three. Is that okay? Can I do three, Conrad?
Yeah, absolutely. It's your world.
All right. I'm gonna do three in a manner that's befitting for am currently in my development. So the event that took place that brought me into consciousness was my birth in the first year of my life. I spent the first year of my life in the hospital in an incubator. So my interface with the world came through the guise of our enemy seeking every day to kill me. You understand what I'm saying? So my introduction to consciousness is not like many other people. You know, it began with my life. You know, and it began with the force and will and power of my mother and my father. So, you know, I received an inheritance for them and an ode to my ancestors that came before me that, you know, saw fit to preserve my life to continue on this work. So three books that I have right here, right now, that are constant source of reference, a constant source of strength and information, and also application, because we can't have knowledge without wisdom, and wisdom is the wise words and wise ways and actions, you know, so it's a complement, so we exist in a dualistic fashion. So, all right, the first one is Yorungu,
an African-centered critique of the European cultural thought and behavior by the African warrior queen and scholar, Dr. Remember Ani Yorungu. Yorungu, Yorungu is Y-U-R-U-G-U. In this textbook.
Y'all see how he tried to steal my first book, though, right? Y'all see it in my hand,
yeah.
right? That
quick,
means we're
right
vibrating
quick.
On the same frequency.
That's right. Show him that book. You see what I'm saying? Show him that book.
Right. That's,
you know.
So y'all need to cop this, because this is going to be at the top of our Sankofa University, Sankofa Circle book list.
I'm
going to
just read
book.
A quick excerpt off of the back, the top portion. Yorungu removes the mask from the European facade and thereby reveals the inner workings of global white supremacy, a system that functions to guarantee the control of Europe and her descendants, the few, over the majority of the world's peoples, the many. It is a devastating critique which uniquely focuses on the intellectual cognitive roots by which the system of dominance operates, the assumption, ascendance, and the valorization of the rational mode. So I'm just, you know, that disjoint is a constant source of inspiration, a constant source of information and reference. This is a serious, serious, serious read. And a guide for African warriors out there. The second book that I'm going to mention is Blueprint for Black Power, A Moral, Political, and Economic Imperative for the 21st Century, Essential Reading in the Age of Obama, which was given unto us posthumously by Dr. Amos Wilson. He made his transition in 95, came out in 98. And the brother that's responsible for this book is still in the physical realm with us. And this is a must-have. I know a lot of people have it, but I've rarely ran across people who have read it, you know, cover to cover. It's, you know, it's definitely a must-have, you know, for all of our African-centered think tanks. And you know, the process of the resurgence of our African mind, this Blueprint for Black Power, is definitely a must-have book. And by the way, we do a Resurgence African Mind book club every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via Dr. Oya Mayotte's YouTube channel. Sister Alima and the whole squad is on there, and we're going through this book chapter by chapter. So if you have the book and you haven't read the book, you can catch up with us. You know, we're currently, you know, going into chapter 10 of the book, so 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Sunday, we have the Resurgence of African Mind Book Club, Dr. Oya Mayotte's YouTube channel. So subscribe to the channel and cause a very, very potent discussion, you know, surrounding this magnificent textbook and offering from our elder ancestor, the great Baba Dr. Amos Wilson.
Ashe.
I hope that wasn't the second book that you had up in there. You know, if you did, then
no,
you know,
it wasn't. I knew you was gonna go there, so I didn't pull that one out. I know that's your favorite.
All right. And last but certainly not least, a very important scholastic offering that was one of three books that was produced by my brother, the chief priest of Heninsu, my brother Unc Benu, and it's entitled Remembering Osea. And Remembering Osea is a book that was given to us via our ancestors, and my brother was the vehicle or the conduit for this textbook. This book is 666 pages of our sojourn through the lens and cultural lens of African people via our ancient ancestors in Kemet. So we start from Kemet and, you know, go through these processes
This is a great and wonderful book. You can get this book at www.kininsu.com. And also, we have a study group that is dedicated to the analysis of this great and wonderful textbook every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, via our YouTube channel on Duna Knowledge Radio on YouTube. You look up Duna Knowledge Radio on YouTube. We had a magnificent discussion on the text last night from a seminar-style cohort learning environment. So the importance of stressing this academic approach to these texts is imperative. You know, with the resurgence of the African mind, we will approach things, you know, from a center as a family. However, we approach it from a space as researchers and decoders. So we're researching, we're decoding, we're sharing experiences and everything. So this book is used as a tool for us to grow together as African people. In the process of the resurgence of the African mind, we are dealing with the resurgence of the African identity. You see what I'm saying? So it's a beautiful book. Again, the title was Remembering Osea, and my brother Hunk Benu, Chief Priest of Hininsu. You can get that book, www.hininsu.com, and tune in every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, via our YouTube channel, Duna Knowledge Radio on YouTube. Please subscribe, get the book, and, you know, join the conversation. So that was my three books. I have more books right here, but these are my three books for right now.
No doubt, Black Power. I think whenever I talk to seasoned revolutionaries, Yoruba is always up there. Blueprint for Black Power is always up there. Power Economics is always up there. You know, those are three books that I hear always from seasoned warriors like yourself. So you really bugged me out though when Yoruba was your first book. I anticipated Blueprint for Black Power and or Power Economics. I did not anticipate Yoruba. But I say to that, we vibrating on the same frequency. That's just confirmation that that's something that we need to touch on. And so I'm going to go ahead and get into some of my favorites. I'm laying here, well, sitting here surrounded by different books. But I think one of the most instrumental in the beginning for me, when I came to my quest of knowledge, I actually found out this book. I got this book from a white professor. I got this book from the Yoruba when I was in college. And it's The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. I read this when I was in college, changed my life, and a white man is the one who put me on to it. So for those of you who haven't read this book, it's Destruction of Black Civilization, Great Issues of Race, and it basically goes, it breaks down where we are socially, politically, and are historically from Jump Street, from day one, and Kemet, and everything that happened as far as, you know, prior to slavery, to slavery, to politics, to the government's war on us, anything you want to know about what happened to our blackness, it's in here. So this, and what I love about this book is it's very rooted on our comedic history. It shows us, it debunks everything that they taught us in school about our blackness. So this for me was a test of kind of the woe factor of being, you know, I apologize, I got a crazy taste, but the woe factor of, you know, learning that everything you've been taught your whole life was a lie. So that was the first book for me because I already kind of always was curious and into my consciousness growing up. I wasn't raised around parents that necessarily was into Black consciousness or anything of that nature. So my journey for knowledge came from just knowing that things didn't make sense. and being an avid reader and constantly asking questions and reading something and then, you know, stumbling upon something else, and then that would lead me to something else. And so this book was amazing. This is something that I constantly go back to. And I also often refer people that are new into their consciousness and into their journey for knowledge to The Destruction of Black Civilization. And this, you know, guys, a lot of these books are not very expensive. You know, I always hear people talking about, you know, well, they wanted to cop this book or they wanted to cop that book, but they couldn't afford it, et cetera. But the reality of the situation is these books are not very expensive. You know, we spend ridiculous amounts of money on, I know people that smoke $20 a L. You know, every blunt they smoke is $20. You know, The Destruction of Black Civilization, the going rate for this book is 1995. Yorugu, the going rate for this book is $21.95. So, you know, it's really an investment that's necessary, especially when you understand, you know, and then a lot of people say, well, I'll just get online and I'll just get these books. I look at them online and I'll use them through an audio book and I'll use them through a PDF or through a Kindle app. We have to understand what they're doing to program us, and the internet works off of algorithms. So as they are rewriting his story, you know, they're writing his story constantly, as they continue to update their files and update the algorithms on the internet, and they continue to put out their mistruth, then what ends up happening is even when you go and Google certain things, that information will disappear. That's why I'm an advocate of actually buying the book, having paper books, because once you have it, you know, it's yours. That information is not going to change. You know, we see that happening with the textbooks and things like that in the schools, the curriculum. They're rewriting the curriculum. And the books that we went to school, the things that they taught us when we were kids, is completely different than our children are reading. And by the time that their children come, there's going to be no record of some of those things. So it's so important, family, that, you know, we get into this knowledge. You know, what did you say, comrade, about people and, you know, a lot of people saying they don't want to read? What was you saying the other day about why they don't need knowledge? Something, brother Knowledge, I was talking, building with the guy the other day. He said something the other day about people that say they don't have time. We don't have time to read.
We,
you know, we
no
have more. They
read.
Killing us.
Yeah, black people out here dying in the streets. You want to read a book. You want to read a
black
book.
Black people out here dying in the streets, and you want to read a book. that's the ridiculousness that our people say. And it's sad because we've been programmed. You know, the master told us not to read. They you know, did all kind of tortured our people for trying to learn how to read. And now that we have all of this knowledge and ability at our hands, we refuse to take advantage of those things. So, again, family, for those of you who are just tuning in, Sankofa Circle Revolutionary University is going to continue to be a weekly political education platform. Yes, we will continue to touch on current events and different hot different hot button topics that pertain to our struggle, but everything is going to be deeply rooted in political education and critical analysis of where we are in our struggle. And so that's so much more important than just regurgitating a bunch of rhetoric. And even if people dying, and we are dying, but for those of you who say we don't have time to be reading, people are dying, we got to get out here and fight, we got to struggle, you have to have a blueprint. And a lot of this stuff has already been done for us. A lot of the research has been done for us. A lot of the mistakes have already been made for us. And there's a lot of stuff that's already there for us to just kind of pick up the torch and continue with. But I think that we constantly are recreating the wheel because we're not taking time to honor our ancestors and our elders and be a student. We're too busy trying to be the teachers and the leaders. And in order to be the teacher, you must be the student. And that's something that we say, we talk about on this show a lot, that the teacher always has to exchange places with the student because that's what it's about. It's constant elevation. It's constant learning. And there's always growth in every way. So, you know, big up to everyone who is out here on this quest for knowledge. You know, we hope that this will be inspirational to you all. So for those of you who are just tuning in, I see people are kind of coming in now on the live. My viewers are kind of fluctuating up and down, so I'm not sure if they're still, for those of you who are watching live, let me know you're here. You know, go ahead and share this post if you have any questions or concerns or comments. We're following the live as well as we're on live on the Do the Knowledge platform. You can, the number to call in is 515-605-9360, and you can press 1 with any questions. So other than that, the next book that I wanted to talk about, this is my new favorite. I just got this book. This is my new favorite, and it is Message to the Warriors by Baba Baruti from a Coben house in Atlanta. This is my new favorite. Like, I keep this by my bedside. The reason why this is my new favorite is because I think it speaks to our generation of revolutionaries. And this book is also $20. You know, I noticed that most of our revolutionary literature is, in most cases, under $30. So it's really not an option to say that it's not affordable. And I know plenty of comrades who give books. I give books all the time to people. I just gifted a book this morning to a sister, a Sacred Woman book. I'll talk about that one in a minute. But so, Message to the Warriors, Baba Baruti from a Coben house. This is really dope because it breaks down everything. It breaks down and for our generation, for the youth, for the young warriors who are bold and who are ready. It kind of breaks things down in a very I don't want to say elementary way, but in a very easy to digest, very practical, logical, and contemporary way. So there's a topic on the warrior's enemies. There's a section on how warriors should behave, the warrior's behavior, the warrior's attitude, the warrior's appearance, the warrior's words, the warrior's compliments, the warrior's preparedness, the warrior's action, the warrior's accountability, the warrior's education, the warrior's religion, the warrior's rules, and then it kind of just kind of summarizes and breaks it down. But, you know, I kind of feel like the Message to the Warriors by Baba Baruti is a quick, it's like a pocket guide for the revolutionary. So all you who feel like, man, we ain't got no time to be reading a book. We out here dying and they killing us. We ain't got time to be reading a book. If you don't pick up another one, pick up this one. Because you got time to read this. It's short, it's quick, it's precise, it's easy to read, and it's jam-packed full of knowledge for the warrior class. It's I can't stress this enough. And we might get into it. I might read a little excerpt from this book here in a little while because it's very powerful when it talks about, you know, the whole thing is powerful, but it does everything from even defining who we are as far as, you know, we talk about a lot of people run around with these labels and identifying with different movements that they don't even understand what they're identifying with. And so it's powerful to me because he even breaks down nationally what it means, you know, in the very beginning, what it means to be a warrior, what it means to be a Black nationalist. What it means to be sovereign as Africans. These are terminologies and words that we use on a daily basis in our struggle. But I don't think that many people have really delved into what it means, you know. And I was talking to a comrade today, and there's not to get too off topic, but there's a video that surfaced two or three weeks ago, a Black Lives Matter group, I think it's Black Lives Matter New York, and they crashed some kind of Trump rally or something like that. And they're wearing Black Lives Matter shirts with RBG, with the Pan-African flag as the background. The RBG flag is the background, and it says Black Lives Matter over it. And then some other members had the same shirt. Members of the same organization are wearing this logo, and it has the gay flag with a black fist on it. So anybody who understands the psychology of a flag and what it means to fly a flag represents a nation, and with a nation it represents certain ideologies and beliefs, et cetera. So you don't I would never fly a flag. I would never fly the Confederate flag because that doesn't apply to me. Just like I would never fly the rainbow flag because that doesn't apply to me. So it's interesting that people, because they're uneducated, they just identify something and they make it almost as a trend, that what they do is they begin to they completely misconstrue it. And I was vexed, you know, when I saw, you know, Black Lives Matter on this homosexual agenda, you know, with the Pan-African flag. I felt like it was a desecration of that flag and an insult to Baba, the Baba warrior ancestor, the most honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. And so I believe that, and I actually reached out to one of the members of that organization and asked them about that flag, you know. On Facebook, I said, you know, if you guys are an integrationalist organization, if you are a pro-homosexual or, you know, a pro-homosexual organization, then why is it that you're wearing the RBG flag? Many of them didn't even understand the concept, the history, and the beliefs of Baba Garvey and why it was such a slap in the face for them to be wearing that shirt. I believe there was, you know, a KMD wearing that shirt, you know, wearing the shirt with the RBG flag. And so, you know, that's why political education is so important, because I believe that if they understood, you know, what, if we all understood certain things and we had a common understanding of the blueprint that's laid for us, there would be less room to practice liberalism. There would be less room to be confused about where we're going and who we can align with and what we can align on and what our objectives. So I kind of went off on a tangent, but that's one of the reasons why, you know, political education is so important, because people are flying flags if they don't even understand what they mean and what they represent. So for those of you who are just tuning in, I see there's an audience building up. What we're doing is we're talking about different books and different pieces of literature, revolutionary or our historical knowledge, Black revolutionary knowledge, that was life-changing for you, that has a great impact on your life, one of your favorite books, why, et cetera. And so what we're going to do is create a book list, which is going to serve as the curriculum for Sankofa Circle Revolutionary University. And what we're going to do is do a long-term critical analysis where we actually pick a book and say we're going to do the message to the warriors. We'll start this week. We'll break it down on live. We'll read a few chapters in the week in between the episodes, and then we'll come back and do on the blog talk and on the live stream. We'll do a live discussion about what we've read, analyze it together, and pull the jewels from that, because it's so important. Not even that we're implementing this knowledge in our daily life, but that we're really digesting it so that we can teach it to our babies. So that's the mission. So far, quick recap, we discussed Yorugu, Dr. Marimba Ani. This right here is the book, An African-Centered Critique of European Cultural Thought and Behavior. You want to understand the cave beast? Cop this book. The second one was what, Dr. Amos Wilson, Blueprint for Black Power. I don't have it right here. Brother Knowledge had it. The third book that's on the list so far is The Destruction of Black Civilization, Dr. Chancellor Williams. The fourth book that we touched on so far is Message to the Warriors, Baba Malawi Baruti from a COVID house in Atlanta. So, family, for those of you who are here, who are joined in, if you're on the call, feel free to push one with any questions or concerns or input. We want this to be an interactive show. We want to know your opinions, your thoughts. We want to hear from you. What book did you read? What book was life-changing for you? What book did you read that helped you into your consciousness or was life-changing for you? You can comment on the thread or you can call in and build with us. So that's what's up. Other than that, the next one that I have that I want to, you know, my favorite, and then I hopefully will hear from some of you all. This is definitely one of my favorites. The autobiography of Assata Shakur. This book I've read it about four or five times, And it makes me very, very, how do I say it? Whenever I begin to feel myself, and whenever I get my head pumped up a little bit, and I think that, you know, I'm doing something and my following is big, or whenever people pumping my head up telling me, you know, how dope I am as a revolutionary and how attractive I, whatever it is, when people are just India, 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 you this, you that, you know, I always am humbled by this book and this sister. And I always, this is always a grounding piece of literature for me, because when I, for those of you who haven't read the sister, the Queen Mother's story, it's powerful to me for so many reasons, because she definitely was a female warrior. And not only was she, is she a female warrior, but the things that she, the sacrifices that she made for our struggle, the things that she endured while she was in the struggle, from her receiving her liberation to prior to her receiving her liberation and being incarcerated and being held at men's prisons and being shot and, you know, conceiving in prison and, you know, having her child and, you know, everything from, you know, being targeted by COINTELPRO prior to her arrest to her, you know, getting her freedom and living in exile, and even to the point now that this sister was so powerful that the Yoruba was still still trying to bring her home, you will bring her here, you know, because they're that upset. And that just is a testament to her power. But when I think about the Sister Asada story, the Queen Mother story, I always feel like, or when I get discouraged, you know, I always feel like, wow, I haven't made half of the contribution that the Queen has made. I haven't made half of this. I haven't even struck the surface of the sacrifices that this queen has made. I haven't endured none of the pain that she's endured. You know, when I think, oh, you know, I've had, you know, different instances with authorities and with the feds and all of these other things, and police harassment, all of that, you know. But when I understand, when I really sit and I think about what the queen has endured and her strength and her focus and her poise, it's just, it's humbling to me, and it keeps me focused, and it just reminds me that we still have so much to do, and not only do we have so much to do, but it reminds me of the great responsibility that we have as warriors, and us who consider ourselves to be leaders, us who consider ourselves to be organizers or part of the vanguard. We stand on some very powerful, powerful shoulders, and not just the Sister Asada, but her comrades and the things that her comrades and her family endured during that time period. So the Asada book, again, it's 1895. So far, with the exception, I think, of the Blueprint for Black Power, every book that we have discussed tonight has been under $20, you know, so... You know, I really don't want to hear that you can't afford it or it's not accessible. And I'll even venture to say, family, if you're interested in one of these books and you absolutely don't feel like you have the ability to get it, you know, reach out to me and I'll see what I can do. If I have some resources, you know, maybe we can send you a PDF or something like that temporarily until you can purchase the book. Because like I said, what we're going to continue to do is we're going to create a book list and we're going to tackle each of these books. We're not just, you know, we're going to get on, we're going to read them together. We're going to discuss them and break it down and apply that knowledge to where we are currently in our struggle. So I'm really excited about this journey. I'm excited to hear from you all. And, you know, this opportunity to learn and grow, political education is so necessary. Brother Thomas Sankara stated that a revolutionary without political education is nothing more than a criminal. And that's because, you know, you have to understand the psyche the psychological components of our enemy, and we have to study our enemy just as well as we have to study our ancestors and our elders. So, you know, that's what it is with that, family. So the next thing I did want to talk about, that's a good segue. I really wanted to talk about, since we brought that up, I wanted to discuss this whole current shenanigans about the BIE, the Black Identity Extremists. And because it's, you know, I said I wasn't even going to mention it, but I believe that it's definitely COINTELPRO 2.0. So one of the things that I actually have received some documentation today about the BIE, and I wanted to kind of read from that a little bit, family, just to educate you about what's going on. And then also I want to compare this to the COINTELPRO papers and let you see what's happening. So what I have in front of me is an unclassified law enforcement sensitive intelligence assessment. The Black Identity Extremists likely motivated to target law enforcement officers. This is what they're gauging their attack on, people who they allege are Black Identity Extremists. This was written this year in 2017. It just says intelligence assessment 2017. It doesn't specify the actual date that it was written, but I'm going to let y'all see this document real quick so y'all can see it's really real. Got this from a comrade, an electronic copy of this from a comrade piece. It's the Shalonda Black Power. So this document, it basically is doing a risk analysis. And I guess this is what led to the push for the classification of so-called Black Identity Extremists as domestic terrorists. So it says, executive summary, the FBI assesses it is very likely that Black Identity Extremists, parentheses, BIE, perceptions of police brutality against African Americans spurred in an increase in premeditated, retaliatory, lethal police lethal violence against law enforcement and will likely serve as justification for such violence. The FBI assesses that it is very likely this increase began following the August 9th, 2014 shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Subsequently, the grand jury, November 2014's declination to indict the police officers involved, the FBI assesses that it is very likely incidents of alleged police abuse against African Americans since then have continued to feed the resurgence in ideologically motivated violent criminal activity within the BIE movement. The FBI assesses it is very likely that some BIEs are influenced by a mix of anti-authoritarian, Moorish sovereign citizen ideology and BIE ideology. This is a new terminology that they have created for anyone who's proud and Black, it sounds like. The FBI has high confidence in these assessments. Based on a history of violent incidents attributed to individuals who acted on behalf of their ideological beliefs, documented in FBI investigations and other law enforcement and open reporting, the FBI makes this judgment with the key assumption the recent incidents are ideologically motivated. Can somebody tell me where these recent incidents, violent acts towards police, have been? Statistically, in comparison to the amount of murders and mass genocide by police on people of color and other marginalized groups. So I'm trying to understand where these increased incidents that they feel like are threatening their safety and who the people, who exactly are these people? So it says the intelligence assessment focuses on individuals with BIE ideological motivation who have committed targeted, premeditated attacks against law enforcement since 2014. Y'all hear what they said? The intelligence assessment focuses on individuals with BIE ideological motivation who have committed targeted, premeditated attacks against law enforcement since 2014. This assessment does not address BIEs who have attacked law enforcement officers during the course of officers' routine duties, such as responding to calls, traffic stops, and violent actions, which were reactionary in nature. So, according to them, there is enough black identity extremists, which also is black nationalists, and more, they listed Moorish people and people who are anti-authoritative or who are upset about police brutality against African-American people. Anybody who is upset about police terrorism or the police murdering African people, they're labeled in this document as a black identity extremist. So it continues to go on and says, the assessment addresses the following key intelligence questions. To what extent are BIE's targeted interest retaliatory? What cross-programmatic relationships influence the BIE movement? Now, this is powerful. What cross-programmatic relationships influence the BIE movement? So what they're saying is what other organizations, ideologies, mindsets, groups of people could be potentially, quote, influencing the BIE movement, which is what the hell is that? What is the BIE movement? So what could be anybody who supports, they're trying to identify where there's a cross, where there's some kind of partnership or cross information so that they can group more people into this category. Peace, Brother Knowledge. I hear you over here shifting. You trying to jump in?
Nah, okay, so you good. Keep on going.
Oh, that ain't you?
Keep on going in, comrade.
Oh, okay. I hear the Yoruba. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? Okay. So, and I just really wanted to take some time, family, and just really, you know, break this down because, unfortunately, it's very obvious to me that our people are not reading. We're quick to share a meme. We're quick to share a link on something that we see without even reading it. And that's evident in the fact that the sources sometimes of the information that we share are not even relevant sources. You know, I see black people or so-called conscious pro-black individuals sharing information that comes from conservative Republican, you know, websites or white supremacist websites, and they just see the title or image and they share that. They haven't even realized who the source of the information is. So this information is pertinent because it comes directly from the Yoruba, comes directly from the FBI. This is a document that talks about the unclassified assessment of BIE and what it means and why they feel like it's a threat. So it says this assessment is the first FBI analytic intelligence product to assess influences between sovereign citizen extremist movement and the black identity extremist movement. The FBI has previously reported on BIE retaliatory violence against law enforcement in two products, both of which had findings consistent with this assessment. The March 23, 2016 FBI intelligence bulletin titled Black Separatist Extremists, A Call for Retaliation in Response to Police-Involved Incidents Could Incite Acts of Violence Against Law Enforcement. Can anybody know when all these incidents happened? Please, family, if y'all know, let me know. whoever's listening, you know, let us know when these incidents happen, because I don't recall all of these instances that you all are referring to. It says, likely the BSE called for violent retaliation to incite the domestic extremists to commit violent acts against law enforcement. The 14th of November 2014 FBI intelligence bulletin titled Potential Criminal Retaliation U/FOUO to Missouri Grand Jury Announcement assessed the announcement of the grand jury's decision in the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson would likely be exploited. Listen, they are saying that the fact that this, that the police were not indicted, that the non-conviction of the police that killed Michael Brown, the verdict will be exploited by some individuals to justify threats and attacks against law enforcement and critical infrastructure. So what these beasts are saying is that basically the non-conviction of police that specifically in Ferguson are enough to motivate black people, has motivated, not enough to motivate it. This does, the language here doesn't say that it could potentially motivate, but what it is stating is that these instances have created a